We need to talk about the nervous system again, even though you've already learned it. Well, you've learned part of the nervous system in lecture. The nice thing about that is this will largely be review, hopefully. As it's been for a while now, it's looking at a bunch of stuff tonight. Now, some of it might not agree completely with how it says you're supposed to do it on your list. For instance, I think it might say that you're supposed to do your own dissection of the spinal cord that's over there in that tray. You can look at the spinal cord in that tray, by the way, if you want. But I've already cut a section of it, and it's on that dissecting scope that's right beside it. So all you have to do is look. You can take the lid off if you want to get a better view, but put the lid back on because it dries out and gets shriveled. But anyway, there's some things that you're looking at slides of that we don't actually have enough slides to give each table. So we did those as demos. That's why we have scopes sitting out around the place. Just as usual, make sure you look at all of those and take pictures. But we do have enough slides of some types to give you in your little booklet. So don't neglect these with your own scopes. Okay? In addition to that, I don't know whether you noticed by looking at the PDFs online ahead of time, which you should always do, but you're also doing this nervous system supplement. You didn't have to print this out. There's a couple copies on each table. Don't steal them, though, because you already have the PDF version on my website. Various procedures in here. Every procedure involves some sort of sensory information. Some of these procedures are actually tests of reflexes, which have also involved sensory information, of course. And since we're talking about reflexes, let's quickly review some stuff that you should have known coming into today's test earlier today. First of all, what anatomically is responsible for a reflex? A reflex arc, yeah. The reflex arc is the anatomy, the structures that allow for a reflex. A reflex is a physiological event. But a reflex arc is pieces of stuff. And if we talk about this in the order in which things are involved, what is the first required component of any reflex arc? Sensation is an event also, and that is not part of a reflex at all. That is occurring. That's high-level processing in the brain. Right, we're talking about anatomy, reflex arc. So yes, sensory receptor of some sort. You have to have a sensory receptor because if you don't, then whatever the stimulus is will not be recognized, right? The job of the sensory receptor is to convert that stimulus, whatever event it is, like stepping on the tack, into an action potential. Now, there are two major possibilities for sensory receptors. They could be, or it could be, either a modified cell doing that job or a modified group of cells doing that job, acting as a little sensory organ. That's one possibility. All of that was one possibility. What's the simpler possibility? What's even simpler than having one modified cell acting as the sensory receptor? Right. Even simpler than that is having the ending of the neuron itself act as its own sensory receptor. So you could have sensory receptors that are separate cells that then cause an action potential in the neuron, or the neuron itself, a free nerve ending, could act as the sensory receptor. But either way, you have to have a sensory receptor in any reflex arc. What's then next in the requirement list and in the order in which things are involved? That's, once again, that's a process. Not immediately next. Immediately after sensory receptor is what? Immediately. Right. The sensory neuron itself is the next requirement. Right, the sensory receptor causes an action potential in the sensory neuron, but it's not necessarily part of that sensory neuron. Okay? So the next piece of anatomy in that reflex arc is a sensory neuron. And the sensory neuron, of course, when that first action potential is created because of either the nerve ending itself or the sensory receptor to which it's connected, that first action potential is then going to be propagated, right, as a chain reaction. In other words, a nerve signal is going to be sent toward the central nervous system. Now, in terms of shape, what kind of neuron is a sensory neuron?
Spindle.
No.
Oh.
Unipolar.
It is a unipolar neuron. What does that mean? Connects to what? Not the neuron.
The body.
Right. A unipolar neuron has only one connection point to the cell body. Yeah, that's when you weren't listening.
I was.
So, a sensory neuron, you know, think about this in terms of the flow of information. That information starts maybe way out at the tip of the toe or something. Somewhere out in the body is where that information starts, that first action potential. And so that's the beginning of that axon. The axon extends all the way up to the spinal cord. But right before it gets to the spinal cord is where you finally have the cell body, right? And there's a little connection point between that axon and the cell body. That's the only thing the cell body is connected to, just one thing. And that's why it's a unipolar axon. Or a unipolar neuron, sorry. Now, where is the cell body of the sensory neuron? In the dorsal root, and more specifically, where in the dorsal root? Right, in the dorsal root ganglion, because that's what a ganglion is, remember, a group of cell bodies in the peripheral nervous system. Well, the root is not part of the spinal cord, it's outside of the spinal cord, and therefore outside of the central nervous system, and therefore it's part of the peripheral nervous system. So the axon, which started way out in the body, connects finally to the cell body that's in the dorsal root ganglion, but then the axon continues even farther, right? Goes through the rest of the dorsal root and the dorsal rootlets, or one of those rootlets, and then it actually enters the spinal cord. So that's where the axon terminal of that sensory neuron is, in the spinal cord itself. So a sensory neuron is mostly in the peripheral nervous system, but some of that same neuron is in the central nervous system. All right, what is next in line in terms of components? Components, structures. Maybe, but what could happen before that? Or what could be there before that? Well, there's going to be a synapse, yes, but there might or might not be an interneuron, remember. And so interneuron is not on the list of absolute requirements for a reflex arc. Some reflex arcs do not have any interneuron, but many have at least one, maybe even more than one. Okay, so like the crossed extensor reflex that we looked at in class, that had multiple interneurons, right? Now, any interneuron that's added to the mix is going to slow down the signal because every synapse that you add is going to involve release of neurotransmitters, which takes a while. I mean, it's quick from our point of view, but it still is going to slow down the overall operation of the reflex. Therefore, why does it make sense to ever have an interneuron? Why not just have reflexes that don't have any interneuron at all and therefore are the fastest possible? In other words, what do interneurons allow for? Greater degree of integration. Yeah, you're going to have integration anytime you have a synapse. And therefore, the more synapses, the more integrative processing can occur, and therefore the more sophisticated the operation of the reflex arc can be. Okay? But they might or might not be there depending on the reflex arc. They're not absolutely required for a reflex arc. The next component is a strict requirement. What is that? A motor neuron, correct. Now you need a neuron to carry the output after that integration. Where is the cell body of the motor neuron? In the spinal cord, specifically. In the gray matter of the spinal cord. Why does that make sense? Because cell bodies of any type, whether the neuron is myelinated or not, the cell body is not myelinated, right? Only axons are. And therefore, gray matter in general is cell bodies of either types, myelinated or non-myelinated axons or neurons, plus the axons of unmyelinated neurons. Neither of those has myelin, and therefore that stuff looks gray rather than white. Okay, so the motor neuron starts out with its cell body, in terms of the flow of information, in the central nervous system, and then extends an axon therefrom, which leaves the spinal cord where? Immediately. And by immediately, I mean with nothing in between. What structure carries the part of the axon of the motor neuron that exits the spinal cord? Not immediately. Yes, the ventral rootlet, or one of the ventral rootlets. Like there are like 6 to 8 per root, right? So that neuron's axon is going to extend through one of those ventral rootlets, and that's going to lead to the ventral root. And then where the roots come together, then you're officially in the spot in the spinal nerve, right? So that axon then extends somewhere in the body to the final required component of the reflex arc. What is that final required component? Right, some sort of effector organ. And what do you mean by that? What are the possibilities? What kind of muscle? Yes, it could be any kind of muscle. We have studied these reflexes in terms of skeletal muscles being the effector organs, but there are reflexes that operate on cardiac muscle and on smooth muscle. Just keep in mind. So it could be any type of muscle, depending on the arc. Or it could be, what's the other possibility? Some sort of gland. In other words, a reflex can cause a gland to secrete whatever its secretory product is as part of the reflex. All right? Hopefully that's clearer now. And probably that's enough to just let you loose on doing this stuff. So on this, the various procedures that are in this handout, you're responsible for this stuff, so you should bother doing it to each other. It's asking you to write down numbers and whatever. You're not handing it in, of course, just like you're never handing anything in except for the quiz. But you do need to know what the names of these things are, these procedures, and why you're doing that, how they're done. So learn this stuff, okay? And the best way is by doing it. When it comes to the temperature one, the warm probes are in here. The cold ones are in here. There's just a... Well, now there might not be any ice officially, but it's still cold water, so there's a big difference in temperature. Just put them back when you're done. I'll let you at it.